So I'm a professor at the University of Connecticut Medical School, and my background's in sociology. So I'll be talking about older adults living with HIV/AIDS, and so it's a slightly different topic than other things you've heard about this afternoon. I have no relationships to disclose, although I have a lot of acknowledgments, which I won't read all the people, but this is a multidisciplinary team that I've been working with, including a nurse scientist at the School of Nursing at UConn. There's a physician expert in infectious diseases, and we have two project consultants on this particular project. And we used nursing student research support in this project, and we are very grateful for their work. And this project was funded by a seed grant from the Center for Health Intervention and Prevention at the University of Connecticut. So the background for our work is that, as a lot of you in this public health audience will know, the advent of antiretroviral therapies, or ART as I will refer to them, has greatly extended the survival for persons living with HIV/AIDS. So that's occurred to the extent that HIV is now evolving into a chronic, manageable disease. And the proportion of all Americans living with HIV/AIDS who are in their 50s and older continues to increase. So about now, of all the people in America living with HIV/AIDS, more than a quarter are age 50 and older. And of course, what's key is adherence to ART. And as long as adherence to ART continues, it's central to long-term survival. However, in the older population, little is really known about factors that determine ART adherence. And so that's really why we launched this study. Older adults living with HIV/AIDS, and according to the CDC, that definition is 50 and older, so those of you who don't think you're old because you're 50 and older, there is a particular disease entity for which you would be considered older if you're 50 or older. But they are known to experience social stigma and depression. There's been a lot of research that's been done on that. But the influence of these factors on ART adherence has not been well studied. It's also known, particularly with research with younger populations with HIV/AIDS, that self-efficacy or the confidence that that subjects have as far as taking their medications has been shown to positively influence ART adherence. But this relationship between medication self-efficacy and actual adherence or reported adherence has not been well studied in older adults. And then finally, particularly when adults get into their 60s and 70s living with HIV/AIDS, comorbid chronic conditions more associated with aging, such as heart disease or diabetes, could complicate ART adherence due to the additional medications that are often required to take care of those chronic conditions. So our aims were to determine the level of adherence with ART in a sample of older adults living in the community with HIV/AIDS, and then to determine how this adherence is associated with stigma, depression, comorbidity burden, and medication self-efficacy. This was a cross-sectional study, and we did in-person structured interviews. It was recruited a convenience sample of persons age 50 or older at several different sites in central Connecticut and in northeastern Connecticut. We use an ambulatory medical clinic, several community-based clinics that see people living with HIV/AIDS of adult ages, and also one community-based residence for adults living with HIV/AIDS. And the inclusion criteria were they had to have an HIV diagnosis, but more importantly, that they were self-administering their ART. Also, they had to have at least one comorbidity requiring medications because we were really interested in the impact of comorbidities, as I mentioned in the AIMS. For this study, they had to be English speaking, and they had to be cognitively capable of participating in the interview, so we set a cutoff point in the mini mental state exam of at least 22 out of 30 points. As I mentioned already, we used graduate nursing students to conduct the interviews, and they were trained in the study protocol procedures, and they were supervised throughout the data collection period by the nurse scientist faculty member. We received verbal assent from subjects, and they did receive a $20 gift card to a local food store, and that was definitely an incentive for participation given where we recruited. And the protocol was approved by the institutional review boards at two different campuses of UConn because of where we were located. Thank you, Pat. So the dependent variable that we use for ART adherence is the AIDS Clinical Trials Group questionnaire, which is used based on the answers to a multiple number of questions to develop an adherence score. So just to give you an idea, this measure includes questions about dosages that had been missed in the last several days, to the extent to which they report that they follow a medication schedule, following specific medication instructions, and when dosages were last skipped. And these questions are asked for each medication that the subject reported that they are on. And in this case, we're talking about ART medications. And the scores could range from 0 to 100, higher score representing greater adherence. And based on published literature using this measure, a score of 90 or greater of 100 means that they are considered adherent. And so we ended up dichotomizing the sample into those who scored 90 or above and those who scored below 90, so adherent or not adherent. And the independent variables, I could talk more about this if you're interested in the details of the measures we used, but there's a stigma scale by Berger that we used, the 20-item Centers for Epidemiologic Studies depression measure was used to measure depression. We also used a well-validated HIV medication self-efficacy scale that's 26 items. We asked the subjects for how many different chronic conditions they had and to tell us what they were. And finally, we were interested in a secondary way in whether males or females in this population differed on adherence. So now we're into the results, and I'll go through these fairly quickly. I just wanted to point out that we did have about one-third of the sample being female. And the average age was right around 55 years old. So primarily of the 73 people in our study, most were clustered in their 50s, but we did have subjects as old as 74 years old. Very multi-ethnic sample, largely because of where we recruited, and this was really what we had hoped to get, was a multi-ethnic sample. So about a third of the sample was African-American, about a third were Caucasian, about 25% were Hispanic, and then a variety of other groups, a few Native Americans, for example. We had a range of education levels as well in the sample, and then the stigma scores, means and standard deviations, for stigma, depression, were similar to what's been found in other studies of older adults with HIV/AIDS. The depression score of 16 as a mean is right at the level. 16 is widely considered to be about where clinical depression is clinical measures of depression based on more diagnostic interviews are consistent with a mean score of 16 on the CESD. So on average, they were right at that threshold of having clinical depression. They reported an average of 3.5 comorbidities. So they obviously had a comorbidity burden in addition to HIV/AIDS. And then the medication adherence, the mean score was 0.77. But what we found, if you look at the bottom of this slide, is that 74% of the sample scored 90 or above. So 74% were adherent, but that means that 26% were not adherent. So we compared the 26 to the 74% in terms of adherence. I won't go through the details of the correlation matrix. I'll just summarize the results when I get to the summary, and I think I'll do the same with, I think the easiest thing to do is just summarize in terms of the numbers, given time that's left. So we successfully recruited and interviewed a multi-ethnic sample. That really was one of our goals, because we really wanted to see if we could actually carry this out, and we were able to do that. We did want to recruit a sample of about 70, between 70 and 75 people, given the power calculations and such, and we really were able to do that. And this is what we found in words. We found that statistically significant relationships were found between stigma and depression, between stigma and the number of comorbidities, and between those measures as well as medication taking self-efficacy in the expected direction. So basically, higher reported stigma, lower medication taking self-efficacy. Higher levels of depression, lower medication taking self-efficacy. The more comorbidities they had, lower levels of medication taking self-efficacy. We found that females compared to males actually were less adherent with ART in this sample, so that one-third of the sample of females. And this is the first study that we're aware of that actually found that relationship, and we really think we need to try to replicate this type of study with larger samples to see whether that would maintain itself. We also found those who reported lower medication taking self-efficacy were less likely to be ART adherent. But when we did multivariate analysis, these variables, when we controlled for stigma and others, the influences weakened in the multivariate analyses. And so the real take-home message here is that if you can maximize medication-taking self-efficacy, you can increase adherence. However, people who were more depressed, who reported more stigma related to HIV/AIDS, and who had more comorbidities were less likely to have self-efficacy. So if you really want to intervene to increase adherence, you've really got to work on stigma issues and depression issues and try to help people taking medications for a lot of different health problems, about how to do a better job of trying to adhere to all of the medications necessary. So in terms of conclusions, the majority reported that they were adherent, but about a quarter did not. Public health intervention should really focus on maximizing self-efficacy. And as I say at the bottom, older women in this sample had lower levels of ART adherence, but we've really got to study that further. So in terms of limitations, small sample size, and we relied on a self-report measure of ART adherence. There are behavioral measures of medication taking, but they were really beyond the resources available to our work. And I think I'll just end by saying that intervention possibilities based on pilot study results are being discussed right now with our consultants and with other colleagues who have been working historically with younger adults living with HIV/AIDS, but they're now realizing that the population with HIV/AIDS is aging. So thanks very much.